You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor in 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome to the Locked On Thunder podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Derek G, saying thank you so much for making us a part of your day. And coming up on this episode of the Locked On Thunder podcast, we got to start with the big news. Russell Westbrook having surgery, arthroscopic surgery, and he's going to be out for, well, at least 4 weeks. And that's actually reevaluation period is what 4 weeks is. And how long, I will tell you how long I would sit Russell Westbrook for, at least. If I was Sam Presti and Billy Donovan, I'd also tell you what I'm going to do with the starting five or what I would think about doing with the starting five and why there needs to start being a bigger level of concern about Russ having all these surgeries. Kind of the attitude just seems to be pretty laissez-faire and relaxed, and I'm not there. I'm in a little bit more of a panic mode than maybe most people are, and we'll get to all that in segment number one. In segment number two, I'll tell you why this is good for Paul George, why he can handle the pressure, and for him, Russ being gone for a while is going to make him the face of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that's a good thing. Paul George needs this. Why he needs this, we'll explain. And then Sports Illustrated did their top 100 basketball players in the NBA, and there's somebody they even admit that they should have not omitted. And it is an Oklahoma City Thunder player. We'll tell you who it is and why this guy deserves more appreciation than what he normally gets. And then finally, the NBA now dealing with an issue that it normally doesn't have. If you've not read the news on Jabari Bird, we'll tell you what's going on there, what the NBA's course of action should be, and more importantly, why we don't normally see this in the NBA as compared to as to why we see this in other sports, namely the NFL. My name's Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK here in Oklahoma City. I have had the immense privilege of covering the Oklahoma City Thunder now for 5 years. 5 years I've covered this team. We're going on year six now. So you know, Media Day is coming up on September the 24th. Training camp starts the 25th. And we will have audio from all that here on the Locked On Thunder podcast. The other thing I would say is that if you do like what you hear on Locked On Thunder, you can always go to LockedOnThunder.com where we have all the podcasts archived. And we've even got audio and video from players and coaches and GMs. And wow, speaking of the Locked On Thunder podcast being archived, subscribe on Apple iTunes. You can hear it on Stitcher. You can hear it on Google and Alexa. And it seems like there's one more place. Oh, yes, Spotify. So please check us out and enjoy what we have to do. News came out yesterday about 1:39 is when the email went out, 1:39 Central Time, that Russell Westbrook was having arthroscopic surgery on his knee and that he would be reevaluated in 4 weeks. This is Russell Westbrook's fourth knee surgery. Fourth. And considering the type of player he is, at some point, we have got to start being concerned. The Thunder have got to start being concerned about how many times Russ is going to get cut on. The overall theme today, especially on ESPN, is that Russ is superhuman and he comes back. And Stephen A. was like, nah, don't worry about all this because Russ has already showed us he can bounce back from knee injuries and even ones more devastating than this. And it'll go on to be business as usual and he'll be fine. Maybe. And in fact, I would say most likely for this year. But any athlete will tell you, any doctor will tell you, that anytime you get cut on, anytime you have surgery, it's never a good thing. It means that there's something wrong. And for Russ to have this issue be repetitive with these knee surgeries, eventually it's going to take its toll. Eventually we will see Russ's skills start to diminish. And I'm of the thought now that that's going to happen earlier than we think that it's going to happen. We all know that Russ is going to break down. But another surgery here, another surgery there, having to keep him out. You can only keep him out so long. And there's going to come a season where Russ has to have surgery. he sits out an extended period of time, and then when he comes back, he's not himself. And that's not going to be easy to accept. It won't be easy to watch Russ break down, and that's the negative side to his game. Overall, as far as how the Thunder are going to handle this, I think the Thunder will be fine for the next few weeks without Russell Westbrook. Obviously, Dennis Schroeder now gets to jump into the starting lineup. Most likely, he's going to play the one. If I'm Billy Donovan, because your choices right now are, and here's the other thing you've got to remember about the Thunder, is that Andre Roberson may not be coming back at the beginning of the year. At one point, Andre says that he's going to come back during training camp and he'll be fine. Then he said when he was in San Antonio at his camp, it's like, oh, I'll come back and I'll just come back when I'm ready. Well, I'm not planning on Andre Roberson being back. I'm certainly, after that interview in San Antonio, not planning on him being back anytime before Christmas. So the Thunder have to figure out who's going to play the two. Terrence Ferguson is a guy that comes up, and so does Alex Abrines. I would probably go with Ferguson over Abrines just because I do not like Abrines' inconsistencies and thinking the way that Billy Donovan thinks, or at least projecting onto Billy Donovan based on what he says anytime we get an opportunity to talk to him about Alex Abrines. Alex always ends up in the doghouse. Alex always seems to do something that irritates the living crap out of Billy, and that is A, not playing defense or getting burned on defense or being out of position, and B, not being able to hit those open shots with any level of consistency when being called on. So that certainly opens the door to Terrence Ferguson. But don't sleep on this idea. Although I will admit this is a pipe dream, and this is my favorite player on this team we're talking about. And I think if you've listened to Locked On Thunder, you know exactly where I'm going. And that is, you can start Raymond Felton at point guard. You can move Dennis Schroeder to the two. Paul plays your three. Jeremy Grant or Patterson plays your four. And then Steven Adams plays your five. And with Raymond Felton, I know what you're saying. Well, now you don't have a point guard coming off the bench. And you're absolutely right. But what you can do with Raymond Felton, and this has been sort of a weapon that the Thunder have used for quite some time now, is that you put somebody in the starting lineup, but you take them out midway through the first quarter, give them rest, and then don't let them play the rest of the quarter, and then insert them back in the second quarter. And I would think that Raymond Felton, even with his age, if you were to just monitor his minutes, he could handle that role. So you take him out with six in the first, maybe put him back at the beginning of the third, of the beginning of the second quarter or midway through the second quarter, and just do everything you can to make sure that this guy doesn't get overworked. Even at Raymond Felton's age, in his 30s, and I don't know his exact age right off the top of my head, but even in his 30s, you're a professional athlete. You are going to be in top-level physical condition. This isn't you and I at the Y running out there getting worn out just after a few minutes. The other thing that I like about this, and gosh, man, I know it's not going to happen, is I just love the idea of Raymond Felton running the floor with Dennis Schroeder playing that two spot, even though that may not be as natural for Dennis Schroeder. And I'm hoping that with Russell Westbrook not in the starting lineup, and if that's not the road that the Thunder go down, which most likely they won't, then Schroeder's level of play can elevate that of Ferguson and elevate that of Alex Abrines. I'm not 100% sold on that. I don't know if anything could elevate Alex Abrines' play to make him a better player than what he already is at this moment. But at least with Ferguson, there's untapped potential there. And we saw him have a couple of good games during the summer league this year. He was a rookie last year. So if this guy has any opportunity to be a future member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, then go ahead and run him out there. Give him the opportunity to start, to be in the starting five. And if it doesn't pan out as the season wears on, then you can look to maybe move Terrence Ferguson at some point closer to the trading deadline and pick up somebody that's going to help you. And maybe on the other hand, because we've talked about trading Alex Abrines so much, if you give Alex Abrines the opportunity to start and he shows that he can be consistent, play for night in, night out, and give you quality minutes and play quality defense, then his trade value goes up, and maybe you can make a move with Alex Abrines. Although we've been down that road before, and for some reason, it never seems to pan out. The other thing with Russell Westbrook, just looking at the schedule, when he could come back, I'm sitting Russell the entire month of October. So he'd miss two dates with the Clippers, one on the 19th and one on the 30th. He would miss the game with Phoenix, the game with Boston, Sacramento, and then the opener at Golden State. I don't rush Russell Westbrook back. I don't rush Russ back. No, I'm not bringing Russell Westbrook back soon. Even if he's ready to go, and you know Russell Westbrook, when he's ready to go, is going to want to be on the floor as quickly as he can. But I'm looking at the earliest of bringing Russell Westbrook back against Charlotte on November 1st. If I could send him out a little bit longer, depending on how the ebb and flow of the season goes, and I do see the Thunder being in better shape than what they were when both Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook went out, and I think it's a very obvious point that I'm making there. I mean, if you could wait to bring him back for that November 12th game with Phoenix, maybe the November 8th game with the Rockets, certainly no earlier than the Charlotte game, then I would, because I'd want Russell Westbrook to be 100%, and I don't care how far behind or how much of a hole the Oklahoma City Thunder dig themselves into, unless they're just 0-4 by the time that that November 12th game rolls around with the Suns, then they ought to be fine. I mean, I would think that they'd be able to win at least half their games while Russell Westbrook is sitting out. And speaking of winning half of those games, you're going to be relying a lot on Paul George to carry this team. I'll tell you why he'll be able to handle all that coming up here on the Locked On Thunder podcast. Don't forget to listen to Locked On Sooners, and that is at Apple iTunes, Spotify, it's Stitcher. It is also on Google and Alexa, so if you're an OU fan, you can listen to that. Hey, and if you're a fan of any of the podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network, they can all be had at those same places or downloaded at those same places, and of course, LockedOnSports.com. And don't forget to visit LockedOnThunder.com, where we keep all the Thunder podcast. I'm Eric G. This is the Locked On Thunder podcast. Big news coming out yesterday that Russell Westbrook will be out, reevaluated in 4 weeks. Reevaluated doesn't mean he'll be on the court in 4 weeks. Just means that they'll take a look at his knee one more time, and he's out the entire preseason, which is probably a blessing in disguise. And another blessing in disguise is that this gives Paul George a chance now to be the face of the organization and a chance to be a guy that everybody's going to rely on here over the next few weeks. And that's good for Paul George. It's really good. One, Paul George has never been a guy that he's never been what I would call a clutch player. His clutch numbers are terrible, or have been terrible throughout his career. This gives him an opportunity to work on that, because you would think without Russell Westbrook, the Thunder are going to play a lot of close games. Paul George will need to take over and get hot down the stretch, and he may need to take a few game-winning shots. And by doing this, if Paul George can connect, he not only proves to everybody else, he not only proves to everybody here in Oklahoma City he can be clutch, but he also proves to Russell Westbrook he can be clutch. Because Russ right now is really convinced he is the only person that can win a game when it's on the line, and Russ needs to back off that. Russ needs to back off and start deferring to a guy like Paul George and letting him know that this is a team thing, it's not a me thing. And as much as I love Russ, it's one of his character flaws that drives us all absolutely insane when we don't see him give up the rock late in the game when you've got a guy as quality as Paul George. The other thing with Paul George being the face of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and why I think he'll be able to handle this, is really all his years in Indiana where he was the face of the organization. And Paul was just fine in that role. I do believe there's a comfort level for a guy like him, considering the fact that he didn't go to Los Angeles, where he's okay being the number two guy. I don't think Paul George wants to go down any further than that. But he's all right being your number two player on the team and deferring to Russ as far as, oh, hey, it's Russ's team, it's not my team. But now Paul, with a chance to take over, can show what a leader he is And if there's any questions, any doubts about his ability as someone who can lead on and off the court and his ability on the court, then this is his opportunity to erase all that and just solidify what his role is here in Oklahoma City. Sports Illustrated ranked their top 100 players in the NBA. The Thunder have four that are on that list. Dennis Schroeder, who's at 80. Steven Adams, who's at 38. And then you've got Russ and Paul George, who are in the top 11. I think Russ is sitting at number 6 and Paul George sitting at number 11. But there is somebody they left off. And Sports Illustrated admit that they left them off. And that happens to be Andre Roberson. I feel so bad for Andre Roberson. This guy didn't make all defensive team last year because he was hurt. He has played really well during his time in Oklahoma City, and the Thunder fans are just now, I don't want to say that they've never embraced him. I mean, I could have made that statement going into last season that Thunder fans have never embraced him, but now they start to embrace him. They start to realize what his role is on this team. And as much as they would like him to make a key three-pointer when passed to, we just assume that that's not going to happen. And Andre's out there for defensive purposes, and he will continue to be out there. I'm hoping by his absence, I'm hoping by Sports Illustrated saying that, because here's how local fans work. And especially, I think about all the people who listen to this podcast who might be in Australia or New Zealand, and I honestly have no clue how their media relationships work with sports stars there or fans there. But fans, as much as they like the local media, when local media tells you that somebody's good, and even if they've got numbers to back it up and advanced stats, which are huge in NBA circles right now. Maybe not so much with me because I don't always understand them, but I've never been a numbers guy. Anyway, the advanced stats back up Andre Roberson. Fans, what do? They call you a homer. You don't know what you're talking about. He's not that good. Why do you keep telling me he's good? Sometimes you need to hear it from someone else. It's like your mom. Your mom can tell you you're good at something all you want. You're like, Mom, you're being nice. Soon as your friend tells you you're good at something, it's like, oh, I believe it now. So maybe Sports Illustrated saying that Andre Roberson was an omission to the top 100 players puts him at the top, or at least gets him more recognition from Oklahoma City Thunder fans. This is the Locked On Thunder podcast. I'm Eric G. We will wrap things up next. And the NBA is unfortunately dealing with a problem that they don't normally have to deal with, and why it's killing me as a fan. I'll explain that next. Don't forget, Locked On Sooners is out now. The latest episode of Locked On Sooners, which is titled Protect This Brand, and you can find that on Google, Alexa, Apple iTunes. You can also find it on Spotify and Stitcher, as well as all the other Locked On podcasts from the Locked On Podcast Network and at LockedOnSports.com. And we thank you very much for your patronage. And man, I really don't want to talk about this next topic. I just don't. It's difficult, but it's the whole Jabari Bird situation. And if you're not familiar with it, the latest is that Jabari Bird is out on bond and he's going to be taking a break away from the Celtics while all this gets sorted out. And it needs to be noted. Needs to be noted that due process has to happen here. I'm a big believer in due process. I don't know if Jabari Bird did the things that he's accused of. I've not read anything that he's pled guilty. I know he's been charged, but he did release a statement saying that he does not condone violence against women, and he's hopeful that in due time he'll be able to gain everyone's trust back. But what Jabari Bird is accused of, and the details here are pretty horrific, just straight up warning, he is accused of abusing his girlfriend, assaulting his girlfriend for 4 hours I mean, just stop and think about that for a second. Four straight hours of abuse, which includes strangling, allegedly, and kicking her in the stomach, allegedly. 4 hours. And you're arrested, you're charged with that. You're taking leave from the Celtics. The Celtics did release a statement with Jabari Bird. It says, most importantly, our thoughts are with the victim of this incident. The Celtics organization deplores domestic violence of any kind, and we are deeply disturbed by the allegation against Jabari Bird. Pursuant to domestic violence policy in the NBA's labor agreement, matters of this kind are handled by the league offices, not the team. So the Celtics will be working with both the league and the authorities in the ongoing investigation, and the team will have no further comment, which is really all the Celtics can say. The actions here are just so utterly, utterly deplorable that I can't even put them into words. I was extremely disturbed when reading all this. And, you know, first thought goes to the victim. You think about Jabari Bird's actions and what the punishment should be, but then comes this thought. As somebody who's covered the NBA now for 5 years, I've always bragged on the NBA that you just don't have the issues in the association that you do in some leagues like the NFL. And part of it is with the NFL, it's just a very different sport. The NFL is the most violent sport on the face of the earth. So if you play it, you're just naturally going to be more violent than the average person. It's not saying that everyone's bad or everyone's going to act on it when they're away, but that's just what it is. And yes, I do think CTE plays into this. Whereas the NBA, it's physical, and guys have suffered concussions, but it's not to the extent of the NFL where you have those repeated hits. And for the most part, guys come off the court, and you don't have just a ton of arrests. You don't have a ton of accusations flying in people's face everywhere where you're having to worry and tell your kids they can't watch. And the NBA, here's where I always thought the NBA separated itself from the NFL. The NBA seems to care about its players first and foremost, the fans second, and I think you need to really care about your employees because they're the ones the fans come to watch. But they want everyone to walk away feeling like they've had a really good experience. And obviously that can't always be the case for one reason or another, especially when you're a player, because teams are going to cut you or you're not going to be good enough. They're going to be money disputes, whatever. But Adam Silver has an opportunity to really send a message and take the flag where Roger Goodell wouldn't. And that is simply by doing this. If Jabari Bird did any of this stuff, you ban him for life. And if he wants to go play basketball and continue his career, then he should be able to do that in Russia or Israel or China or someplace else. And even if I was commissioners of those leagues, I wouldn't be taking Jabari Bird. It's just a bad look. It looks like you condone violence against women, and we're living in the Me Too era, and it can't be tolerated. It's a zero tolerance policy across the board, and the NBA has an opportunity right now to send a strong message, not only to its fans and to women, but to its players, that you're just not going to put up with this crap. You know, let the NFL continue to dig its hole, but if you're Adam Silver, don't dig it. Deal with Jabari Bird once and for all. Get the guy out of the league if, in fact, and I'm going to make this clear too, if, in fact, he's guilty. And I hate ending the show on a note like that, but I just did not feel that we could just let that go and leave it in the dark and be, oh, it's all hunky-dory. And I almost feel like I've got to apologize for even talking about it. It's just, it's so difficult to talk about, but I'm at least glad that we touched on it. And hopefully Adam Silver deals with it in the best way possible. This is the Locked On Thunder podcast. I'm Eric G, and I will say that on this, I do trust Adam Silver. I always trust Adam Silver for the most part to do the right thing. All right, we good? Okay. Now, Locked On Thunder wraps up. I'm Eric G. Thank you for listening. ELE, everybody love everybody. And I just feel like I can't stress that enough after talking about something as dark as that. Jackie Moon might have been goofy, but he always had a great point. ELE, everybody love everybody. And as always, man, peace, love, and thunder out.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.